Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the newest edition of the Blake Rogers Show. I am your host, no other than Blake Rogers. Thank you for listening. If you missed my last episode, it's actually the first broadcast of the Blake Rogers Show on Dash Radio, part of Almighty Baller Network. You can find my show Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern. So definitely, if you didn't hear the last episode, my show is basically focused on hip-hop, you know, music, pop culture, and of course, NBA, playoffs, you know, basically like a broad description. I just dive into whatever I want, but most likely I dive in the NBA and NFL realm and sort of that nature. And of course, you know, I'm a huge hip-hop head, love music, so that's just the general consensus of my show. That being said, let's dive right into the NBA playoffs. I mean, we have to, right? It's only right. You know, coming into this, we got Boston versus Washington. I mean, bad blood is there. I mean, they promoted, you know, Jay Crowder and John Wall getting into it the last time they faced off. So, definitely bad blood between this team. You have, you know, Washington wearing all black in the regular season, you know, pulling the J.R. Smith, like, oh, this is their funeral for the Celtics. So, I don't know what it is, but apparently teams like wearing all black against the Celtics for the funeral. Don't know what that's all about, but let's just dive right into it. The thing that, you know, comes out to me is that the game was pretty much even the majority of the time. I mean, I know Washington jumped off to that huge run. I thought it was chops. I thought it was game over. And like I said, I think John Wall is the best point guard in the East. He didn't play like it. Yes, he had 20 points, 16 assists, but you got 8 turnovers. And John Wall, that's not a good look if I'm going to be promoting you like that. Give it to Isaiah Thomas. Chip tooth, and he still got it in there. But here's the thing. They both shot about 51% from the field goal range. Rebounds, they both tied. 38 rebounds each. Turnovers, Washington only had 2 more turnovers, you know, than Boston, 13 to 11 turnovers. Here's the thing. Boston outscored Washington by 29 points in the second and third quarter. Washington had abysmal, 16 points in the third quarter. After you came out on a 16-0 run in the first. And granted, I know Markieff Morris, he got hurt, only played 11 minutes. And yes, when it comes down to it, yes, Markieff Morris is a huge player on that team because what else do they have? That depth is really, really bad. And if you look at the stats, okay, Washington, you see 43% three-point line. Boston, 49%. Nearly 50%. You're making nearly half of your three-pointers. And that's even not the huge problem. The problem was Boston attempted 39 three-pointers while Washington only attempted 23. And Boston ended up making 9 more. That's 27 more points that Washington had to make up for. 9 times 3, 27. Wasn't the greatest at math, but that's 27 points. In Washington, it doesn't help that you shot 59% of the free throw line. 59%? And you expect to beat the number one seed? I'm going to say this, and Boston fans may not like it, but it's part of the playoffs as well. Boston, if Markieff Morris doesn't finish the rest of the series, that is another break you have caught. I mean, let's be honest. That's another break. I know you got to play the games, and this happens, yes, but it's still a break. Luck is still involved in some championship runs. If you don't think luck is involved and it's just all skill, then you're wrong. You're wrong. Here's my thing. Rondo, he's out. He was completely dominating. You thought Rondo would be in a Celtics jersey the way he was balling for Chicago. He gets hurt. Markieff Morris messes up his ankle. Doesn't come back. Things start going downhill. And Boston has shown that they will take advantage of injuries. And they should. They are the number one seed. Here's my thing. Isaiah Thomas, you balled out. 33 points, 9 assists. And for the record, I made a show earlier. If I had to choose my top 5 backcourts, I had John Wall, Bradley Beal, number 4, then Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley, number 2. I still think Boston has the better backcourt. And yes, I know Wall and Beal, you know, combined for 73 points. That's awesome against Atlanta. As you can see, I just feel like Bradley and Isaiah complement each other more. And I like Avery Bradley's defense the best out of all of them. Don't get me wrong now. I still think John Wall is the best point guard in the East. Granted, 8 turnovers tonight. Boston did a good job, but he still had 20 points and 16 assists. So we're going to see how game 2 goes. If Markieff doesn't play, I got Boston in 5. If he comes back and he's about 90 to 100% healthy, which I highly doubt, but if he comes back healthy, a little bit normal, I still like Washington in 7. Now let's get to the game of the day. All eyes on me. That was just a bad impression, but let's get to the game of the day. Utah Jazz versus Los Angeles Clippers. A lot of pressure on this Clippers team. We know Blake Griffin doesn't show up when it's time for Blake Griffin to show up. We know that already. Injury or not, he doesn't show up when he needs to show up. The Jazz, they end up beating the Clippers in 7. You got Joe Ingles. I don't know how you say it. Joe Ingles, Aaron Pringles, going Mingo. Anyway, you got that. And the Clippers actually cut Joe to finalize their 15-man roster. And that came back to bite them in the butt. He had an efficient 4-for-6 shooting, 66% at the 3, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. From Joe, the guy you cut. The guy that Steve Ballmer paid top dollar for Doc Rivers to be president of operations, general manager, the de facto, and you cut a guy that essentially just bit you in the butt and played a role for the Utah Jazz. Not only that, Derek Favors and Joe Johnson were huge off the bench. You hear that, Doc? A bench, something that the Clippers do not have. Hughes off the bench. They combine for virtually 30 points and 20 boards together. 30 points and 20 boards together off the bench. Chris Paul. You know, he got hurt in the middle of the game. He kept playing. Not the best Chris Paul outing. You can tell that injury just bothers him, man. 6-for-19 shooting. 1-for-7 on 3. 9 assists. That is not your Chris Paul closeout game. I really think he messed something up. Here we go with Austin Rivers. 38 minutes. This is the guy you paid $30 million for in the offseason. The coach's son. Yes, and I'm still going to use the coach's son narrative. Because I tell you what, if Chris Paul didn't get hurt in that Portland series and Austin Rivers wasn't forced to play, he would not be a Clipper still. His dad saved his career. And I'm not going to make it personal. I don't tend to make it personal. I'm just calling how I see it. But 4-for-12 shooting? That's the guy you gave $30 million to? And J.J. Redick. One of the best shooters in the league, right? And J.J. Redick, he can shoot those threes. But when he's off, he's off. And he was off. 1-for-4 on 3? Really? 1-for-5 on 3. It wasn't even 1-for-4. 1-for-5 on 3? Come on, JJ. And DeAndre Jordan for the Dallas Mavericks. Oh, sorry. They got him back. They got him back. For Los Angeles Clippers. Yeah, he had 24 points, 17 rebounds. But 6-for-15 at the free throw line? That's 9 missed free throws. To me, it seems like the Clippers did the same thing Portland did. They brought the same players back and expected to win. Nothing changed. Allen Crabbe, his game didn't change. His role didn't change. The Blazers essentially paid $70 million for a role player. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not paying $70 million for a role player. It didn't make any sense. The Clippers, Jamal Crawford, okay, I can get it. He's more reliable than Austin Rivers. But Austin Rivers? $30 million? For what? So you go 4 for 12 in a crucial game 7? Are you kidding me? And what happened to the Clippers and the Portland Trailblazers this year? They both got eliminated in the first round for signing people that didn't make sense. I'm sorry, signing Evan Turner did not make sense. Not in one way. And that's a bad contract. Why would you sign for Evan Turner when you know he's not successful unless he has a ball in his hands? And wait, last time I checked, you still have Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Really? Clippers. Doc. Why would you bring Austin Rivers back for $30 million, but you still have a rotation of Raymond Felton and Jamal Crawford? Something doesn't add up. And you still don't have a backup five. Let's move on to here. Doc Rivers is the most overrated. He is the most overrated championship head coach ever. Yeah, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. Doc Rivers is the most overrated NBA championship coach ever. In the regular season, oh, he's great. 804 wins to 584 losses. That's good. He's winning nearly 600% of his game. He's nearly winning 60% of his games. But let's go to the playoffs. He's barely above average. He's barely above 500. His record in the playoffs, 82-78. It's a whole different situation come playoff time. And I know he's been dealt with the injury bug. I know. But there comes a time where enough of the excuses. He's been eliminated in the first round of the playoffs 7 times in his career out of 14 appearances in the first round. Not in the second, not the third. In the first round alone, he's been eliminated 7 times? Are you kidding me? Really? And he only advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 times. All with Boston. And let's keep in mind, that Boston team was 24-58. The previous year before getting Ray Allen and KG. Luckily, Danny Ainge kept faith in him. Interesting stat here. Doc? Oh, yeah. He only has one more second-round appearance than Vinny Del Negro. The coach that was canned for Doc Rivers after Del Negro had a 56-26 record in the regular season. Doc has 2 second-round appearances with the Clippers. Del Negro only 1. So did you really improve as a team? Did you? Did you really improve? That Clipper team, let me tell you what. That Clipper team was going to win 50 regardless who the coach was. I mean, really. And you know what? I can't put it all on Doc. I can't. I'm going to put most of it on Doc, but I'm not going to put all of it on Doc, because I am a strong believer in not having my head coach being the GM and the president of operations. It's too much power. In the words of Kanye West, no one man should have all that power. And we've seen what has happened when Doc has that power. I believe in a system of checks and balances. Look at Stan Van Gundy in Detroit. How are things going with Thibs in Minnesota? How's that working out right now? Both those teams, not in the playoffs. People think of Popovich, Kerr, Belichick are the guys that make all the decisions. And granted, Bill Belichick is the de facto from the minute he got the New England job. But we tend to forget that Scott Pioli was the VP of personnel from 2000 to 2008 until he got the general manager gig in Kansas City. There's always expectations to certain things. But back to Pop and Steve Kerr, the GMs, R.C. Buford and Bob Myers. They got the roster. I'm sure the head coaches got their input. But the general manager had their source of thinking as well. Look at Jeff Fisher, former Los Angeles Rams coach. He has some power too. Look how that turned out. Bad. I wanna give an excerpt, you know, of me just diving in to that. Explaining, I was with my boy Tino, at Game Tino on Twitter. And we were talking about, if Doc Rivers doesn't win this series, is he out? I want to insert that clip right here.
They play tomorrow night?
Yeah,
okay.
They get 2 days off.
Okay, if they win this series and come back, don't get rid of him as a head coach, but the GM part got to go.
If they lose Game 6, he's done?
He's out both ways.
Wow.
He's one of the most, like, even Glenn Davis, I'm like, yo, Doc Rivers is, like, losing before... Mm-hmm. KG and Ray Allen came over. He struggled in Orlando as well. Couldn't get over the first round in Orlando. He's one of the most, I like him, just from an outsider's point of view, but he's one of the most overrated coaches ever.
I think
ever.
He's more of a spiritual dude. Like, he's like, yeah, I got y'all back, guys. Let's go. We got this. Whatever. Yeah. Which is why he's a good coach. But for a GM, you can't have your players back as a GM. You got to have your organizations back. So you can't be like, no, we're going to hold Pat the trade deadline, not trade. Mm-hmm. Like, Carmelo Anthony, like, you look foolish right here, bro.
And that's why, like, when I first heard him, like, yo, why are you elevating Doc Rivers to GM? Like, I like to keep two entities separate.
Trying to get that Greg Pop.
Yeah, I'm like.
Greg Pop money.
I like the two entities. I don't like my head coach being the GM.
Too much work.
Too much work and too much emotional
attached. And they're different, yeah. They're different jobs.
GM's more like a common sense position. You're not more, like, emotionally involved with the players. Head coach with them 82
go
games.
Where the money goes.
Exactly.
That's what GM is.
So I'm like, I was more skeptical of the Doc Rivers thing, but I mean, it's the Clippers.
It's the Clippers. Point exactly. It's the Los Angeles Clippers, and you can't put any stock in them. They proven that you can't put any stock in them. And you know what? I don't blame CP3. I don't. He's still a great player and a great point guard. Who will be in the Hall of Fame? Does he have a 33-43 playoff record? Yeah, yes, he does. Has the Clippers been the only team to blow a series lead 5 years straight? Yeah, they have. Does it so happen that the only two Western Conference teams to not make the Western Conference Finals are the teams Chris Paul has been a part of? Yes. But he's third in playoff efficiency behind Michael and LeBron. So you can take that for what that's worth. Which really isn't a lot. Sorry, Chris. Point guards are somewhat overvalued. Don't get me wrong. They can be great. But they can be somewhat overvalued. Because tell you what. When Cleveland plays Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals... If Washington get the act right, and you know what, even if Washington wins, it doesn't matter. Because you know what? You have 6'8 LeBron James. Then having a 6'3, 6 foot crafty point guard. I'm sorry. It's just the law of the land. Wings are more valuable. You can just go back in time. Wings are valuable. Point guards are more plug-in. Look at Kobe. Look at LeBron. Look at MJ. Look at Magic. And yet, and you know what? Magic was 6'9". Sorry. He could play center. Actually won his first championship playing center, filling in for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So don't give me that. Well, Magic taught. Well, Magic was 6'9". So don't give me any of that. There's been reports that the Clippers plan on re-signing both Blake and Chris in the offseason. Well, duh. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't you resign them? You're the Clippers. You want to be a lottery team next year? You better try to resign both of them. But here's the thing. I think for a fact Chris Paul isn't coming back. He's going to San Antonio. He's taking over Tony Parker's spot.
Why wouldn't he go to San Antonio? Reliability. As Chris Paul, you can rely on Coach Pop. You can rely on Kawhi Leonard. You can rely on that Spurs organization who was extremely functional. What was one of the reasons why Kevin Durant left? Reliability. He could rely on Steph Curry, hitting jumpers, passing him the ball, keeping his ego in check. He can rely on Draymond bringing it every night, 82 games. Yeah, he might get in your face, but it's for the better good. Reliability. And that is why Chris Paul would go in San Antonio, and that is the reason why Kevin Durant left the Golden State. Because Kevin Durant couldn't rely on Westbrook if he was going to pass him the rock in crucial times, or he was going to go 12 for 34 alpha male shooting. Reliability. As far as Blake Griffin, I don't know, man. I don't know if he cares about winning. I don't know. Because through his actions, he has shown that it's just stats, let me get paid, let me do commercials. That's the narrative for Blake Griffin. Because punching a trainer and being out for 6 to 8 weeks shows me that you're a hothead and you don't care about winning. And look, I'm all about making mistakes. Made plenty of them in my life. I'm all about making mistakes. Hey, you have to learn from them. But I'm sorry, tell me if I'm wrong, but to me, it feels like he does not care about winning. And if he does care about winning, it's not going to be in Clipperland. I can tell you that much. If he cares about winning, he's going to go to Boston. And people want to say, well, no, he'll go to OKC. Why would he go to OKC? Why? Why would you want to play at Westbrook? And Westbrook likes to have the ball. He likes to penetrate through the hole. He likes to have the floor open so he can kick out. Have you noticed that the better Westbrook got, the more Ibaka was by the three-point line? They basically neutered him. Ibaka was a physical guy in the paint. They basically neutered him. You know, Ibaka, just stand out and shoot those threes. Just shoot those threes, Ibaka. So why would Blake Griffin go there? I mean, honestly, I'm just being honest. As far as Doc Rivers, you heard my segment. He has to go. He has to go. I think Steve Ballmer's gonna clean house after this season. Congrats to Paul Pierce on the great career, number 15 on the all time scoring list. Fun fact: Vince Carter and Dirk are the only active players from the draft class of '98. Jeez, I am getting old. Quickly, I want to preview the second round. Like I said, I do like Boston in 5 if Marquise Morris is healthy. Washington in 7. As I want to go to Houston versus Golden State, I like Houston in 7. I know I'm going on limb, but I like Houston in 7. Every game has been close this regular season, with the opposing team only losing by 6 points or less. Granted, the Spurs have won that matchup 3 out of 4 times, but for some reason, I'm just buying Houston. Let me stay in the Western Conference. Utah versus Golden State. I like Golden State in 6. Obviously, they're the better team, but Utah has a history of playing them tough. 2-1 the head-to-head matchup, advantage Golden State. Utah give them a run for their money, but you know, Utah still gonna lose to the better Golden State team. Cleveland versus Toronto. I have Cleveland in 5. Look, I know last year went to 6, but LeBron is rested up, and for the most part, Cleveland dominates the Raptors. Granted, the wins are close when Cleveland wins, but nonetheless, they win. The wins are 3-1, a series advantage, the Cavaliers. I want to see Houston play Golden State just for the offense. But I do think San Antonio have a better chance of beating Golden State. Do see better role players. I mean, the thing is, San Antonio beat Golden State, I believe, like the first game of the season. So you really can't weigh that in because Kevin Durant and Golden State were still getting that chemistry together. So you couldn't tell. And the next, you know, matchup they played, all the stars, you know, were resting, and ABC made a mess about that, and that was bad. And then the third time, you know, Durant's hurt, but Golden State wins. So it's weird. And you know what? I'm saying already, I'm already penciling LeBron in for another finals appearance. Which will be his 7th straight finals appearance. Yep, I'm penciling him in. I'm sorry. As much as we like to make it that he has competition in the East, he really doesn't have competition in the East. He doesn't. I'm sorry. It's just, I'm just being honest. We can do this whole Boston and Cleveland thing, but it's not a thing. We can do Washington versus Cleveland. It's not a thing. We can do Toronto versus Cleveland. Guess what? You guessed it. It's not a thing because LeBron just simply dominates, and he has shown no signs of slowing down. No signs whatsoever. Follow me at the B-Rod Show. Who do you have winning, Spurs versus Rockets? Tweet at me at the B-Rod Show. That is THEBRODGE Show. As always, I thank you for listening to the Blake Rogers Show. You can tune my show on Dash Radio Mondays, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Dash Radio app. Also part of AlmightyBaller.com. Check us out for your latest updates on NBA coverage. We also have the A-Team. You know, you just figure it out. We got all shows covered for your team specifically. If you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, listen to our Brooklyn Nets show. If you're a Phoenix Suns fan, listen to our Phoenix Suns show. I mean, we have multiple shows, and I can't forget about the Lakers. As always, I am your host, Blake Rogers. Stay lit.